Jingiwala, welcome to Black Medicine, a podcast about First Nations health by First Nations people. I'm your host, Dr. Michaela Cooch, a proud Bundjalung woman, Indigenous doctor and health expert. Thank you to dear lovely Amelia Tulip for being on the podcast today. Now, you are a medical student at the University of Newcastle, and I'd love you to introduce yourself and your mob.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and I'm a really proud Malakadi woman from the Southeast Nation of Tasmania. I was lucky enough to grow up down there, so...
And whose land are you on today?
Currently on Wanneroo land, so I guess they call it Maitland now, but yeah, I'm working and studying up here.
Fantastic. Today I wanted to discuss medical school because medical school for First Nations people is a massive leap from their local country or even city-based big fish, small pond situation. My university had 50,000 people when I was studying there. Like, that's a massive change of life. The daunting thing that medical school is getting in, then surviving medical school, and then knowing when the calling of medical school comes and how to pursue your dreams. I'd love to talk to you all about these things.
Yeah, sounds good.
We have connected online and now in person and now good friends, and I respect you and I know that you will succeed so well in medicine. So that's why I wanted to have you on today.
Thank you so much.
I also wanted to share your story into medicine because everyone's path is really different and I wanted to highlight that. You see that more in postgraduate medicine when everyone's from a different background, and I guess the moral of the story is that we need doctors from all paths, not just one path. We also need doctors who are mob because we know that mob doctors look after our mob best and that has the best outcomes for us as a nation. Well, you're at Newcastle University. What year are you in at the moment?
So I'm currently just heading towards the end of year four, so one more to go.
Woo, woo, woo! Yeah, so close. Oh. And then you're going to be Dr. Tulip.
Yes. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Dr. Tulip reporting for duty. I'm here. Yeah. Yes. That's amazing. You're in Maitland. Is that as a rural school placement?
Yeah. It's like a, I guess, regional. It's about 25 minutes from Newcastle. So it's good.
Is it?
Yeah. It's not too far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's good.
Is that sick? Mm. Now, could you tell us what your calling and journey into medicine was?
Yeah, so I guess my first interaction with medicine would be really young, actually. My mum, she's actually got schizoaffective disorder, so we spent a lot of time visiting her in hospital, and I found the hospital a really positive experience for me because it was, you know, I got to see mum, like, and I got to meet lovely nurses and doctors, so that was a great wasn't a great experience, but, you know, they made it a positive thing. And then I got diagnosed with PCOS when I was about 17. And I just started researching what it was about. And then I saw women's stories about their fertility journeys and like trying to conceive. And I was fascinated. And it was the first thing that's ever really grabbed me in my life. So I sort of felt that this is for me.
Mm. Mm. And so then what was your pathway into medicine?
So I guess it was a long one. Like, I was a bit of a naughty teenager and I dropped out in year 10. But I ended up sort of creeping my way into nursing school at the age of 20. But I didn't really have like a good safety nets in place to look after myself and I didn't know who to reach out to. So I dropped out at the end of the first year and I sort of spent the last 7 years or so like just really regretting dropping out and like nothing else fit, nothing else felt like a good pass for me. So I saw an occupational physician in my late 20s and they're like, why don't you just study medicine? And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, that doesn't happen. You've got to, like, be amazing in high school and, like, you know, I'm getting older. Like, it's not going to happen. He's like, no, there's Aboriginal pathways. And I'm like, oh, is there? And then that sort of opened the gate.
That's so good. Yeah. I love when, like, one person gives you that boost of confidence and then you have, like, a light bulb moment and that part changes your life forever.
It did, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, so how did you actually get into medicine? Like, what did you do to get the steps to get into a place?
I was living in Hobart still, so I went to UTAS and they've got like an Indigenous centre for the students called Riawana. And I saw a girl called Mel and she basically laid out the strategy, I guess, to get into medical school. So I started studying like a Bachelor of Health and I was just doing like nursing units and I pretty much just built up a distinction average. to have that academic record to sort of prove that, you know, I'm serious and I can do this. And then from then I just started looking at what universities were offering, things that I could sort of, I was eligible for, I guess.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And then so you obviously went into health and then you applied to the University of Newcastle and you went there. Did they have a pre-program situation, like where you go to the university prior to getting a placement?
Yeah. So they've got this program called Miramar Bunbilla. And basically a hopeful medical students would apply. They've got to have a credit average and obviously identify as Aboriginal and recognise as Aboriginal in their community and all that. And you essentially go there for a week and you just do a week in the life of a medical student and you're really well supported by other students and the teachers there and just the mob at Wallatooka. It's a fantastic place. And, you know, you do classes, you do anatomy and, like, the theoretical stuff, and then at the end of the week you do that. You still do the normal, like, testing you would do, to, like everybody else has to do. But you also do a presentation and they just pretty much just watch you over the week and see how you manage it. A lot of people get in. Some people have to try again, but that's okay. It just means they weren't ready that year.
I did a similar thing. It was the pre-programs at the University of New South Wales in Sydney. Their program's over a month and you do basically the first semester of university in a month, so 8 to 6 most days. And then you have to do 3 or 4 assignments where you do a presentation, an examination, and a group project. And then you also have to do cultural and community work as well.
Amazing.
And at the end of it, you get to be given a place if you are lucky to receive one. And that's really good because it gives people who, you know, may not have the opportunity and who haven't finished school or who still have the smarts but just didn't know how to play the system of the HSE or play the system of school, which is quite difficult for people if you're not told what to do, which I was never told what to do. I guess most of my high school teachers didn't think I'd ever get into medicine, and my careers advisor always would just kind of like laugh and be like, oh, you shouldn't do the UMAT. And I was like, why shouldn't I do the UMAT? Like, I work at Macca's. I paid my money to do the UMAT. And then she was like, yeah, not very supportive. But then, like, I found the universities themselves so supportive and so easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, such a blessing for me.
Well, that's amazing. And yeah, I'm assuming you went in quite young.
Yeah, I was 17 and then I just turned 18 the day I moved to Sydney.
Oh my gosh. See, I didn't start till I was 30. Some of us need longer.
I was just a massive nerd in high school. Like, I couldn't get enough of the textbooks. I was like, give me more.
Oh my God. See, yeah, no, that wasn't me at all.
But, like, you are a nerd.
I am now. It goes to show the differences, though, and, like, how we're both mob and, like, you know, it doesn't matter your background. If you've got the drive to do it, come do it.
Mm. Exactly. What would you say to someone wanting to apply to medicine?
Oh, man. I would just say, like, I had a student at Miramar tell me to back myself. And that's something, it's so important, even throughout medical school. You really need to back yourself. If this is something you really want, go for it. Make it happen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Really, like, prioritize it. And it's possible.
It is possible. That's what I want everyone to know, is that if you dare to dream it,
yep,
you can do it.
Yep, yep.
You need to have that faith that you can do it. And once you see yourself there, you'll never forget that.
Everyone is there to support you. Like, join AIDA if you get into medical school. They're just amazing. Like, everyone there, it's like a family. I couldn't speak higher.
Definitely Australian Indigenous Doctors Association. It's a great support because once you're in medicine, you're kind of like, you feel like to other people, you're like, oh, I'm in medicine now. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. Also very scary. So scary. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then you meet other people who are like you in the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association. You're like, man, you're the coolest person ever. Like, you are so nice. You're the doctor I want to be.
Yeah.
And I never had met anyone like you. And now I feel like I can be empowered to do it myself.
And I don't know about you, but to me, doctors were very unreachable. They felt like superhumans.
Totally.
And I think for me, like, I'm meeting my brother married a doctor and meeting her, she made it human for me.
Mm.
And that's what I really want to do for, like, the younger mob that, you know, have an interest in medicine too. We aren't superhuman.
No, yeah. We are human.
Yeah, we're human.
100% human. And I guess that's what makes us good doctors, is that we recognise that as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Now, who is one of your role models or mentors that you love, and would they be approachable for other people to get into medicine to talk to them as well?
So, like I said, I'm lucky enough to have my sister-in-law. Her name's Madge. I'm sure if someone's at UTAS and, you know, they're doing Jerry's, that she'd happily look after them, especially mob.
Aww.
But also, like, there's a lady called Tanya Schramm, and she's in IATA and she's down at UTAS. She's amazing if you're at Tassie mob. And there's also Karen Nicholson in University of Newcastle. She's also amazing. She's a GP, and just honestly, pretty much anyone in IATA, really. We're all here. Like, we all want to help. We all want to support. There's space for everybody in medicine.
Definitely agree with that. So you're recommending speaking to the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association to talk to someone about getting a mentor?
100%. They even have a mentorship program.
Yeah, so I guess the best way to do that would be going through their website or reaching out to them on Instagram. I know they're really active on their Instagram account, so they'd definitely be more than happy to speak to anyone wanting to apply to medicine. I guess I only asked this because I felt like I was really lacking mentorship when I first got into medicine, and then found it quite hard to, like, see the picture as being real.
Yep.
And then once I found people who were, like, people that I wanted to be like, it was so much easier of a process.
Oh, I so agree, definitely. And that's the making it human thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what your best study tips are along the way?
I don't know if people out here have studied a degree before, but sometimes in some degrees you can just sort of muck around until the last, like, month and then sit an exam. You can't do that in medicine. You have to stay on top of it. You have to keep going. If you're sick for a week, keep going, you know. You can't let it slip. It is hard work, but it's, you know, hopefully something that you're really passionate about. And, like, use things like active recall, Archidex, past medicine. Just stay on top of your work. Like, if you just do chip away every week, it's better than having this nasty rush at the end of it, like, just before exams.
I don't think there's enough time to actually cram at the end.
No, like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. You'd have to be doing all-nighters for, like, a whole week, and then you'd become really unwell.
It's not healthy. It's terrible for your mental health.
My best learning tip or study tip, I used to love writing and writing and writing and writing. And then I also love using YouTube videos.
Yes.
YouTube videos are my best friends.
Yes.
I used to love listening to podcasts on the way to whatever lecture you were going to, like, on that same topic. So you felt like, one, you knew what you were doing, and two, you could get the most out of your learning while you're there.
Yep.
And then at university, I used to hire the whiteboard spaces. And so I used to draw a lot of things on the whiteboard and just do, like, a lot of recall stuff.
Yep.
Like mind mapping.
Yep, for sure. And even teaching really helps.
Yeah. Teaching definitely helps. It makes you solidify your knowledge and solidify your understanding of the topic, but it is also very scary.
It is. It can, like, it can either make or break your confidence, I guess.
Yeah. But I'd recommend doing it as a, like, a life lesson, because you'll get so much out of it, no matter, even if you feel like this is the worst thing you've ever done in your life.
And you're going to be doing it a lot in medicine. You're going to be doing a lot of presentations, learn PowerPoint, because you'll be doing a lot.
I didn't used to be nervous, but I don't even feel like I have a filter anymore. I'm just like, this is Michaela.
Yeah.
This is what you're getting.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're presenting today all the patients in front of, like, 30 people. And then sometimes you have to run family meetings in front of the whole family's meeting, and they're listening to every word you say. You literally have no shame. You just have to be yourself, right?
Yeah, 100%. And patients love that. They don't want a robot. They want someone down to earth.
That's so true. Now, where do you see the future taking you?
Well, it's interesting because I came into medicine being, like, pretty gung-ho on being an obstetrician, a gynecologist. But I just did my OBGYN and I found that midwives have a cooler job.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to quit and do midwifery, but I also found that I absolutely loved GP. I went home every day just giddy. I loved it. So the things I love about OBGYN are antenatal care and fertility, which has always been the case. And that's pretty well done in a GP sphere. So I actually think I'm a GP.
GP, GP, GP. Go, girl.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love it.
GPs are the forefront of medicine. They honestly are the hardworking, digging their feet in the ground every day, seeing basically the community at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And they work so hard. Like, I don't know how you can fit every medical question you've ever been asked into a 15-minute consult and then have time at the end to make sure the whole patient is okay. Like, it's just it's an absolute talent. And
it's an art form.
Yeah, an absolute art form. So good work.
You get to still do things that you love on the side, like mental health, pediatrics. Mm. Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me, I think.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. That's so good.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any final tips for our listeners?
So I think in medicine there's this culture of, like, nobody showing their cards, and it's kind of a big bluff. People act like they're really on top of things all the time, while they're all actually losing the plot and they're stressed out of their minds. Not to put you off medicine, but, you know, it's hard work. I think it's really important. You have to reach out to your friends. You've got to tell people if you're not coping. You've got to reach out for help. And if you're off country, reach out to the local community, get involved, because your culture will strengthen you internally. And I think just don't let yourself slip through the cracks like I did. Look, if you do fail, you can always pick yourself back up. And a lot of people do fail in medical school, and that's okay. It happens. But you just have to learn how to come back stronger, and it will make you more resilient, and it doesn't make you a crappy doctor in the future, you know?
Thank you for being so honest. I nearly just started crying. Like, maybe I'm feeling extra emotional today, but everything you said was so on point, because you are so right. Like, we are taught to be the soldier of medicine, not show your cards, not show your real face, be the strong protector. And sometimes things happen, like people pass away, or like a baby passes away, or like your favorite patient gets diagnosed with cancer, and you just feel like the worst person having to tell them about their prognosis and their diagnosis and speak to their family. And all of these things, whether you like it or not, affect you. And you learn that from day one of medicine, that, you know, this is a job of life. And it's easy to just push it all away, but then at some point it's going to come all up.
That's right.
And you need to make sure you have a support network who's going to be there for you, because you know you're going to need them. You're also going to need your community and your mob, and you're not going to be able to pass or survive without them.
No.
So I really appreciate you highlighting that and bringing that to the forefront.
Yeah.
I love having you on today. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited to see your future, and I'm so excited to see you grow and become the doctor that I know you're going to be.
And, like, you know, speaking of mentors, you're also a massive one of mine, so I appreciate you letting me into your life.
Don't give me your shame. Don't give me your shame.
Oh, no, I love your content. And I just, I'm proud of you. You're smashing it.
Thank you so much for being on. Wants to follow you, where can they come and get some info?
So maybe MillieRue17 on Instagram, or I'm probably the only Amelia Tulip on Facebook ever.
Amazing. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending time with me. You can find our other episodes in your podcast app or at sbs.com.au/blackmedicine. If you'd like to get in touch, please email blackmedicine@sbs.com.au. I'd like to thank my deadly uncle Clarence for his amazing work on the Didge, Mr. Rod Morey for his amazing work in the sound production, and lastly, the amazing team from SBS Podcasts.